This is Life Talk with Donna Briggs on the Big Talker 1580 AM. Now, here's your host, Donna Briggs.
Hello, everyone. This is Donna Briggs, and you're with me on Life Talk, the Big Talker on CBS Radio. I'm here with Joel Sefardi and Giovanni Capoletti from 40 Plus of Greater Washington. How you guys doing?
We're doing outstanding. How you
we're doing? Great.
I'm doing great. Now, this organization I thought was outstanding. It's a 501c3. It's called 40 Plus of Greater Washington. And the reason why I thought it was so interesting and intriguing, because if you're over 40 and you're looking to restart your career, career change, you're executive, you're a professional, you lost your job, you got laid off, this company actually guides you in steps to get you back on your feet, to get you out there in the workplace. The reason why I was interested in it is because I have a personal story. My mom, she worked for AT&T for 25 years, and she came home one day, she sat on the couch, she cried, and she said, "I just lost my job." They gave her a 401 package, severance pay. They gave her a party. They laid her off. Basically, she was making over six figures, and they hired someone younger to replace her that they didn't have to pay that much to. And within a week, she had a heart attack. I mean, because the stress of, and I was talking to Mr.
Just call me Joel. It's much easier.
Joel. Yeah, I was talking to Joel about that, and he was saying that that's normal. People just can't understand or get over the fact that they haven't, they're not going somewhere for 25 years, or they're changing their whole life around. I thought it was a great thing she lost her job. Mom started a company. She's like, "I'm not that kind of a person. I don't know how to do that." And Joel was explaining to me, like, it's generational.
It's right. So common. The situation people find themselves in, they've been working 25, 30 years, and all of a sudden, where you work was your life. You identified with AT&T, you identified with IBM, you identified with almost any organization. That was a common thing. Everything, all your relationships came as a result of that. And all of a sudden, you're on the street. And you're lost. Not only that, but all the friends you had, they sort of disappear.
Because they work with you.
They work with
exactly.
you. Your identity was there.
Which I thought was amazing, because I always thought that was a great thing. I'm like, "Wow, this is great. You can start your own company and you can do all these wonderful things." And she looked at me like, "What are you talking about? This is awful."
Donna, I think you find yourself in a very unique situation. I mean, you're the kind of person, and there's lots of people who look at this as a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah.
And you look at it from a wonderful opportunity from a couple of standpoints. One, exactly what you say, I've always wanted to do this. And somebody just kicked me in the, you know, way.
Yeah, but they usually give you money when they get rid of you.
Yeah,
and that's something
yeah.
that kickstarts you and you can start something else.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It's, there are times when there are times when the company's just run under. There is no money to give.
Oh,
remember.
I didn't think about that one.
So we have the opportunity to see all kinds of people. People who this is the best thing that ever happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And people this is the worst thing that ever happened to them. And we have to work out how best to work with them. And we've been doing this in Washington for almost 60 years. This is not a brand new thing.
Yeah, how did it start? How did your company start?
The original organization started in the 1930s during the Great Depression.
Oh, okay.
Where a group of salesmen found themselves on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And they started meeting, having a cup of coffee, and they started talking about how they might be able to help each other. They didn't realize, but they helped inventing networking.
Oh, okay.
And they started talking among themselves and said, "You know, maybe we should get together and form some kind of organization where we can help each other." The word got out to a number of big businesses. You ever hear of Mr. J. Cash Penny?
No.
J.C. Penny.
J.C. Penny. Yes, I heard of J.C. Penny.
Okay, J. Cash Penny, who was one of the heads on the board of directors.
Okay.
There was a guy named Tom Watson. I think he ran a company called IBM.
Oh, yes, I've heard of him.
So he was one of the founders out there where people said, okay, so they started forming these organizations. Well, come World War II, everybody had jobs, so that wasn't an issue. But right after the war, things started getting rough again, and some people started all over again, all through the United States, in Oakland, California, in Los Angeles, in Detroit, Chicago, Boston. These organizations all formed to work with older individuals. Now, most people say 40 is not that old, and it really isn't.
No.
But at that time, 40 was considered somewhat of a
senior citizen?
Yeah.
Right. Oh,
well,
come on.
The life expectancy was
well, that's
much
true.
Younger.
It's younger. That's
people
true.
Are
people
living
are living
longer,
longer now.
Now.
And that's
right.
another issue.
Exactly.
Older people are losing their careers And they're starting over, it was 60 years old or 50 years old.
And so here is an organization that's formed with this in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And each one, as I said, 40 plus from Washington has been around for 59 years. Next year is our 60th anniversary. We're going to have a big party.
I definitely want to be there. And I
You're
wanna,
invited.
And I
You're
want to sponsor
invited.
It. I mean, I want to come on, you guys, come on the air and talk about it. That'd be great.
And we're going to talk about that. And so what happens is we have a place.
Mm-hmm.
We have an office set up right outside of DuPont Circle in Washington.
Yes.
And people are able to come and use it. Mm-hmm. We have computers. We have everything to handle in it. We have phones. The whole network is sitting up there ready for people to use.
And we were talking previously before we got on the air regarding social media, how older people never thought it was important or they don't think it's important. And when you're going back into the workplace, how important it is when people look you up, they find something.
It's a whole new process. It's changing so quickly. I mean, the world is changing at a phenomenal rate. 5 years ago, the idea of Facebook didn't exist. You know, so all of a sudden, there you are, you're 48 years old, you've lost your job, you're working, and you turn to your children for help?
Yeah, that's
The minute you tell them, you turn to your children for assistance. Anyway, Giovanni, how does that work?
Exactly. Well, I think another thing is we sometimes have people, let's say they're an attorney, and so they're really savvy and they're smart, but the last time they wrote a resume, it was on beautiful linen paper.
Which
and,
is like,
you know, and they thought, well, I'm an attorney, I'm a tax attorney or something. And they've just lost their job. And they come to us and they don't know how to write a 21st century resume.
Oh.
And they thought
they never had to.
They never had to.
They were the partner of the firm
right.
or whatever.
And they were the person who hired. They never had thought that they would be the person who was looking for a job. And so they come to us to sort of figure out how
now,
to do that.
Now, is it embarrassment? I mean, do you get ahead
sure.
of class for people that come in there just like so in shock? Like my mother was so in shock. She couldn't believe.
Huge.
Let me, I have a story for you.
Like a
My wife was doing filling in for an organization that needed a new executive director, a nonprofit organization.
Okay.
And she was on the job for the first couple of days, and all of a sudden the phone would ring. This guy would say, I'm looking for the previous CEO. And she said, well, he's no longer here. He said, what do you mean? It was a guy's son. He didn't tell his family he had lost his job. He was so embarrassed and so lost.
He didn't know what to do.
He didn't know what to do. So every single morning he would get up, get dressed, put on his
sock,
and he was going to work.
You hear about that. People get up,
and
put their clothes on, and they go to the movies all day or something.
So we give you an opportunity. It's a safe environment. Everybody that you're going to meet at 40-plus
mm-hmm.
is in transition. They've lost their job. And all of a sudden, these are people you could be very comfortable with. All of a sudden, you start creating your own story. Tell a little bit about yourself. One of the things we talk about is the most difficult question lots of time is, Donna, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Okay. And you go around the room and do it?
You go around the room.
What about public speaking? Do you guys get on to that, too, also in your program?
Well, we have a four-week intensive training program.
Okay.
And part of that deals with we do videoing.
Oh.
So if we do mock interviews,
all
of a sudden,
you're able to see exactly what you did wrong, your posture,
right.
your body language
exactly.
may be wrong.
So you see yourself and you notice that you have a tick in your hand.
or you're tapping the desk.
Right, or, you know, you slouch and you never really noticed that before, but you see yourself on video and you suddenly need to correct yourself or you just notice these little details that you
I
might not.
I think this is a phenomenal
You might want not want to
and
bring
the other people
to
in
your
the,
next
the class
job interview.
Are critiquing you,
mm-hmm.
and it's a heck of a lot better to be critiqued by somebody who just developed a relationship and a prospective employer.
Yeah, because you won't get the job.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but here's the newest twist, okay?
Uh-oh.
You want to see how things are changing so quickly?
Mm-hmm.
The latest thing that's taking place in job interviews is Skype.
Yes, and they do it on that. They do it over
They're doing
Skype,
Skype interviews. So
yeah.
I'm applying for a job, and the job is in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And I'm in Washington, D.C. Your prospective employer is in Los Angeles. We're Skyping you. We tell people to do the Skype in advance with the members in your class. Why? To make sure the laundry behind you is taken care of.
Oh, make sure your house is not a mess. You ever see that? I'm like, do people
sure.
look at their backgrounds when they Skype?
They don't normally do that.
I don't think that's smart to do that.
So all of a sudden, we prepare you to do these things. We prepare you. You have a cadre of people working with you. There's up to 7 people in the class.
Mm-hmm.
And we have every single class has 2 facilitators, all volunteers, all who have been in that position. Every person who's teaching this class has been unemployed and has gone through the training
and
program.
And started over.
Right. Started over again. Transitions now go from, I ask the question every single Monday, I ask, how many people really love their jobs?
I do. But not many.
Not many people say, take advantage of this opportunity to make the transition from where you are to where you want to be.
And I said that to my mom. I'm like, wow, this is great. You start your own company. But like you said, the mindset was you go to college. She was an accountant. She did that, and she worked for AT&T, and they took it away from her. She did, was
they
lost.
Took away, and you know, we have people that affects them all the time. We've had divorces.
Yes.
Right.
All of a sudden, the pressure is so much. Your life. When I first got involved with this organization over 20 years ago, it was primarily men.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's 50-50, men, women. Every background
well, women
experience.
Are women running the households now, women.
Well,
some of them.
Some of them, but it was not as big of an issue. But we see this phenomenal process that takes place. People really come in. Many of them are really kind of down. By the time we work with them for over a 4 or 5 week period of time, there's a whole different attitude.
I would think a psychiatrist would have to be there, too, to help people get over this whole shock.
We haven't gotten to that, but what you have is a place to go. You have a purpose.
Yes.
We were talking about Monday morning.
Every
single Monday, we have an open house.
Okay.
And we have Giovanni is responsible for getting some of the best speakers out there, and they're all donating their time, and they're donating.
And what time in the morning is?
At 10 o'clock every single morning, our address, just to let everybody know, here's a little commercial for the place.
Yes, it is.
It's 1718 P Street Northwest.
Okay.
Just the two blocks.
And your website?
The website is www.40plus-dc.org.
Okay, cool.
We have a Facebook page, we have a blog,
I friend you on Facebook.
We just friended and we talked a little bit, and you know, you're a heck of a lot more attractive than I am.
We Twitter.
We have all these tools because these are tools that are necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, you're going for a job, they're going to put you into the.
Now, how often do you hear, I don't need to do that?
All the time.
Now, when we come back from the commercial, we're going to talk about things your mother told you, the three things, because
right.
I thought that's interesting you brought that up, and how the community is involved in preparing your transition, going from being employed to not being employed, and going back out again and getting employment.
That's right. We're going to talk about that.
That's be good. And we'll be back. We're back. I'm here with Joe Sefardi and Giovanni Capelletti of 40 Plus of Greater Washington. How are you guys doing?
We're doing super.
We're great.
That's great. Now I wanted to get into things your mother told you.
Well, we talked a little bit about that. You know, the world has changed dramatically.
Yes.
But one of the things is your mother had a great impact, still has a great impact. But when you're growing up, she told you three things. The reality is only one of those things is still valid.
True.
She told you, never speak to strangers. Right? She told you, don't brag about yourself.
Oh, that's okay. Well, Mommy told me to brag about myself.
Well, I think you're unique and out there. And the last thing she says, always wear clean underwear. You never know that. That's true. Well, the first two things have changed.
Yes. Brag about yourself.
You have to be able to tell people of your accomplishments.
That's true.
To be able to tell strangers about your accomplishments.
Because they won't know who you are.
They have to be able to do that. You have to be able to say, this is who I am. This is what I've accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not saying you go out there and brag. We have to learn how to be able to share your great successes with other people. Washington is the networking capital of the world.
Yes.
Right.
Every time you have an opportunity, from a professional society meeting to the dry cleaner, you know the dry cleaners in Washington probably know more about what's happening in the neighborhood than anybody else.
I'm sure. They get everybody's clothes.
They know who's working. Because when you're working, you're bringing in your suits and your dresses on a regular basis.
True.
All of a sudden, you don't do that anymore. He's going to say, what happened, Donna?
Well, you must have bought all new clothes. You don't need them anymore.
Well, more likely than not, you're not bringing the stuff into the cleaning right now. But she knows who's working. She knows who's working on the Hill, who's working in an advertising agency.
That's true.
So get over it and start sharing your experience with other people.
And like you said earlier, a lot of people are embarrassed.
Right.
And they don't want to tell anybody and, you know, they try to pretend like everything's fine, but it's really not.
And it's not. And we try to work with people on that. People just have to get on. Nowadays, in all honesty, it's a little easier because there's so many other people in the same situation.
Yes. And you guys can call in at 301-794-5150 if you'd like to talk to Mr. Joel and Giovanni of 40 Plus of Greater Washington.
Call them in. We're ready for you.
All right.
You can call in, and this is a wonderful topic. I personally was interested because my mother was in this situation, and it took her life because it was so much stress, she didn't have anywhere to go. Another thing I want to talk about is the community. How do you work with the community to transition people?
We reach out to lots of different organizations. We try to get our message through. And just from the standpoint of giving people an opportunity to come someplace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to sell the program or anything like that. I think the program
works. I think it's a spectacular program.
But just show up on a Monday, give you an opportunity. So we reach out to human resource people, the Society of Human Resource Professionals, mm-hmm. headquartered just in Northern Virginia. But every single community has a branch.
Yes.
So we reach out to those people. We reach out to the various communities around. The churches are phenomenal places for people to rebuild their relationships. So we talk to ministers and priests and rabbis and get them to know we exist so they'll refer people to us.
Yes. And like you said, they know what's going on in the community because they're there.
So we work on giving people an opportunity to first feel comfortable about the situation. We don't guarantee jobs, but we give you an opportunity. And we're teaching people how to fish.
Yes. And like you mentioned before, the importance of someone being able to look a person up.
Nowadays,
that's very important.
Nowadays, one of the first things we do, you did it to me, I did it to you. We go into Google, we put each other's names in there and see what pops up.
And hopefully something pops up.
First, you want something to pop up. But second, if something pops up that you're not too proud about,
you can get rid of it. Yes.
You have to be able to understand how to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody's going to say, tell me about what happened to you on that particular day. Well,
mm-hmm.
thank goodness, among older individuals, we didn't have digital cameras when we were in college. So our Facebook page is not as interesting as younger people.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know that. You have to be able to manage your profile on the internet.
And people have to realize any picture that you take could end up Google or online or on the internet. I mean, you have to be very careful. Like I'll say 90% of my pictures that I have that you see online are taken by a professional person. I don't have anything strange or weird because you never know who's going to see it.
I think it's very important that you understand. One of the things we teach people to do is go in and it's called Google Alerts.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you're able to set yourself up in such a way every time your name appears on the internet,
mm-hmm.
they'll send you an email saying, Donna Briggs just showed up on such and such.
Let's check out and see what it is.
So you set yourself up. So you do it for yourself. If you're interested in a particular company, set that company up as an instant message to you. So every time something happens in that organization, you get an email.
That's pretty heavy.
So all of a sudden, you're developing this way of understanding what's happening. Now, this is not something they taught in school. This is not something that
They don't teach anything about networking in school at all.
You're an architect. Right now, the unemployment rate among professional architects is the highest of any profession in the United States.
Because there's no housing.
No housing. No malls being built. No office buildings going up. It's a difficult time out there. How do you transition? What skill set do you have? How do you rebrand yourself?
Branding
yourself is an important part.
So how do you brand yourself and you're starting over? That's my question to you.
And one of the things you do is find out, one of the things we realize is a concept we work on. We're not unique in this. It's called success bites. We force people to figure out what their successes were professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And start putting those down. And what you discover is the things that you've accomplished are really able to be transitioned to someplace else. It has nothing to do with the company. It has necessarily nothing to do with your industry you're in. It's something that you're good at and you've accomplished. There are certain people who really know how to organize, special meetings, how to get a group together. How do you do it? Giovanni, what are some of the success advice that you've heard over the years in terms of how people are able to take those from one industry and put them into another? Because that's really what you want to do. You're
transitioning. How do you do that?
Well, I think that somebody who's doing marketing for healthcare, who's only worked with nonprofit hospitals, let's say, might feel if they lose their job at the hospital might not know quite where to take that, but they realize, you know, oh, I've done this marketing work. I can take this experience out of healthcare
and
apply
it
somewhere else.
Yes.
And maybe they never really realized that because they've been at hospitals only for 20 years.
And they never thought about it.
Right. And so they realize, oh, wow, I've been successful at marketing this hospital. Wow. And now I realize that because I've gone through the 40 plus program. And they take that marketing experience and apply it towards another industry that's still around and may still be growing.
One of the things we do is we teach people to take the word hospital out of it. We talk about your accomplishment. So we make it so it has nothing to do with a hospital. I'm able to, the organization I was with, help put together a marketing
plan. And you can create your own business from that.
You could create your own business. We have many people who start their own business, becoming an entrepreneur. It's something that you're able to do because there's a passion. You want to wake up on Monday morning.
Yes.
That's where the whole branding thing comes in. I'm able to take myself, and all of a sudden, I am what? We had a woman not too long ago, went through the program. She worked for the federal government, and she helped different groups get together and work out their problems, you know, the employers and things. And she did this all the time, and she told this story in a long, long story. I said, you know what you are? She said, you're a marriage counselor. She says, what?
Okay.
What does a marriage counselor do? They take two parties who have a disagreement.
And they're the mediator.
And then act as a mediator.
That's true.
So I said, rebrand yourself. You are a marriage counselor for the federal government. So all of a sudden, she has a whole new persona.
That's true. And it's funny. I've noticed a lot of older people, because I talk to a lot of different people all the time. But a lot of older people don't realize the skills they have because they've been working at jobs for so long. They don't realize you have a Rolodex of like 5,000 people. You could utilize these people and turn it into something.
Absolutely.
Right.
Like, you have all the connections in the world, but you're not using them. They're like, use them for what? I'm like, you have everything. Like, I don't have that type of Rolodex, but someone older than me does, and they have these connections, and they don't even know that they could use them for anything.
And a lot of time what we work on is taking that Rolodex and transform them into the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
So the professional Rolodex nowadays is called LinkedIn.
Yes, and they LinkedIn don't even
is,
use it.
LinkedIn is your Rolodex. Not only that, but every time something changes out there, all of a sudden you're going to get a notice about it.
Yes.
So all of a sudden you have this electronic Rolodex that is unbelievably powerful.
And anybody,
so people can find you.
Yes, they
as
can
well.
Find you. Which
and,
I think is great.
And you get the technology, you have to overcome it. It's not unusual for somebody to walk in and says, I don't trust computers. I hate computers. And I said, the minute you say that, you've just added 20 years to your age.
Like,
all of a sudden, you become old.
Like, you know, that's true. I mean, it's funny. That's true. It's funny. Like, a lot of older people don't believe in Facebook, or they don't believe in Twitter. But it's a connection, especially if you're trying to brand
it's
yourself.
It's a mechanism. It's like any other tool.
Like it's
you
any
have.
Other tool.
It's
exactly.
a tool. And so you don't have to be the world's foremost authority. You just have to be comfortable in that world.
That's true.
Because you have a lot to offer. One of the great skill sets of an older worker has is the ability to mentor younger workers.
True.
A young person comes in, they don't know the rules of a large organization. They don't know the politics of it.
Well, see, that's another thing I've noticed, too. That's why I never really got into working, per se, because I didn't want to follow the rules. I wanted to do my own thing, and I thought that I was smarter than them, so I'm like, I can make more money than these people, so I'll do my own thing. So it's funny how you have a mentor, like a mentorship program with the older person. They come in, they mentor the younger person. But a lot of ways, when the person is older, you think, oh, they don't know anything. Usually a younger person thinks that because they're not doing the LinkedIn, they're not doing the Facebook, and it's kind of hard to, you know.
We like to have a conversation going back and forth. So the younger person brings a lot to the table.
Mm-hmm. And so the
older
person
has
too.
A lot to the table. So how do you get those two people together?
The wisdom.
You bring those shared experiences.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, this becomes an important thing. One of the most important things, though, that people have a difficult time doing is taking their experiences and putting them into a story.
That's
and
true.
We emphasize stories because stories are remembered.
True. They
so,
are.
So there's a little technique we use. And everything has initials. This is Washington, D.C. If it doesn't have initials, it's not Washington.
Okay, so give me an example.
The initials we use is PSR.
Okay.
Problem, solution, results.
That's
okay?
great. I like that.
I worked on it, so I start off with the problem.
Mm-hmm.
When I was working at AT&T,
okay.
I was responsible for the accounting issues.
Mm-hmm.
One day, my boss comes to me and says, we have a problem dealing with a brand new accounting system.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me the responsibility. So the problem was learning how to integrate this new accounting system. That's the problem. Solution. I formed a small group of people to work on this. We came up with six new ways to integrate this into the system. Solution.
Uh-huh.
The result. As a result of our efforts, the organization saved $22 million.
Wow. That's pretty good.
I could do the same thing for you.
That's good.
So problem, solution, results. Put things into a story. People remember stories.
People right. do remember stories.
And when you're interviewing, that person who's across the table will see that, and that succinctness, and especially if you can quantitative with numbers like $20 million, they will perhaps hire you, and you will end up in the A pile of resumes, in the
yes.
top pile of resumes. And that's one of the strengths that we try bringing in to the people who come to 40 plus.
Transitioning is so important, and how do you go about doing that? You have to almost reinvent yourself.
Yes.
You have to say,
now, how
okay.
does someone reinvent themselves at 40 or 50? How do you do that? I mean,
well, because one of the things we do is say, okay, let's start breaking down everything you've accomplished. Let's sort of dissect you.
Okay.
And then take those pieces, those successes you've accomplished.
Yes.
And re-put them together. Re-manage them. Re-sort them. We're building a house. We still have the wood. We still have the nails. We still have the plaster. And you just take that and rebuild.
And redo it.
You just redo yourself.
We'll be right back. We're back. I'm here with Joel Stefardi and Giovanni Capelletti of 40 Plus of Greater Washington. How you guys doing?
We're doing
great.
Outstanding. How's everybody doing out there?
It's doing wonderful. And we were talking about getting back on your feet after you've lost your job or you're reorganizing your whole life after 40 or 30 or whatever age you are. And you were talking about introverts and extroverts.
Everybody falls into a category, and everybody has to have this sort of idea of what an introvert is, what an extrovert is.
Yes.
And one of the things we do is, I think we mentioned every single Monday we have a speaker who comes in and talks about issues that are critical to people who are in transition. And one of the things that Giovanni does is get some of these speakers. And we had this woman come in and talk about the difference between introverts and extroverts and how do you take advantage of it. And what she said basically is the introverts really need a little time to think through their issues before they open their mind. They're processing their thing in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So what an introvert does in working for a job, looking for, they're doing a lot of work in advance. They're practicing what they want to do in advance. And they're able to operate in an environment where they might be the only person in the office. The extrovert, on the other hand, is able to quickly do things, open their mouth and things come out. But they really need an office environment that generates a lot of
energy.
Energy. They need that. It's something that requires that. So we work on those issues. How do we take advantage of who we are? Everybody's not a pure introvert. Everybody's not a pure extrovert. There's a sort of a ribbon that goes from one place to the other. But they're really bringing a great deal to the table. And how do you overcome some of these issues? And it's one of those things we work on continuously, because how do you position yourself in a very positive manner?
So what positions or careers did she mention any for extroverts or introverts? I mean, is any particular ones that are better for?
Well,
either?
It's not so much that they mention what careers you would necessarily go for, but part of it in terms of the job hunting is skills you might need. So, for example, especially in Washington, D.C., networking is really how one finds a job. But if, let's say, you're an introvert,
yes.
Networking might be, let's say, a bit more challenging.
Yes.
So we have a speaker who's coming in next Monday.
Mm-hmm. At 10 o'clock.
At 10 o'clock.
At 10 o'clock near DuPont
and
Circle.
And you guys go check it out.
Tammy Wylock, she's coming in. And part of what she's talking about is you sort of need to think ahead about what you love about the kind of job that you're working, rather than just going like, okay, I'm so-and-so, and I've got... You sort of need to get out of your sort of logical head a little bit and sort of realize what it is you love about what you're doing.
Okay.
And sort of then get into that mode before you start networking so that you can say...
And you can feel more comfortable.
You can feel a bit more comfortable and less intimidated if you are an introvert, if you just sort of know what you love about what you want to do. And as opposed to the extrovert who thrives on that crowd of people and, you know, doesn't necessarily need to practice as much. And they can kind of just jump into the pond.
One of the things we work with the extroverts, though, is to sort of tone them down a little bit.
Yes.
Because they will have the tendency to go into a room and hand out business cards to everybody they see.
Which is not really the best way.
Okay. What we work with them on and work with everybody on is try to get to the room in advance. Many times there are, you know, the name tags are out there naming the individual and the organization you're with. Do your homework in advance. Find out who might be there, which organization, and find the five people you really want to connect with.
Yes, your key people.
And once you get those five people, those are the people you want to make sure you do it. And once you do that, you want to follow up the next day or follow up immediately with an email saying, hey, that was great meeting you, Donna. How can we get together and talk a little bit more on what we were talking about?
Yes, because usually on the, at events, they have a list of who's going to be there.
Right.
So if they're important to you or what you're doing, you can go search those people out and say, okay, this is, and they have the picture next to them, usually.
Usually,
so
right.
So you can say, oh, that's him right there. Let me go and give him my card or let me give him my email address. Or
that way, you're focusing, you're keeping yourself. So the introvert is practicing in advance. One of the things we offer at 40 Plus is the opportunity to practice. The extrovert, on the other hand, we want you to come down a little bit, not to be too strong on it. Get much more comfortable doing this thing, but it happens. One of the things we work on is giving people an opportunity to be in a diverse world. You know, if you only dealt with engineers, if you only dealt with lawyers, if you only dealt with accountants, your whole professional life,
That's true.
Of a sudden, you have to make a transition from where you are to where you want to be.
And you're like, okay, I don't know how to deal with these people.
And that's why we offer such a diversity. So we'll run a training program, seven people maximum in it. There'll be a lawyer in there, an accountant. There'll be a graphic artist. There would be a person who raises funds, a development person. And all of a sudden, you have to learn how to take your technical language and translate it so everybody else can understand.
Now, you mentioned something on the break regarding one class you had all engineers in it. How did you deal with that?
Oh, it was impossible.
Absolutely.
I mean, not only engineers, they talk engineer talk, speak. I mean, nobody under. I mean, remember, all our trainers went through the program. They've all been unemployed at one point in their lives. And they all come from different backgrounds.
Okay.
All of a sudden, I have six engineers.
Like, uh-oh.
And it is not an easy thing to try to get them out of their place.
Their comfort zone,
their comfort zone, if you will.
And all of a sudden, all the words have all these syllables that nobody knows what they are.
Like, what are you talking about?
And as, you know, they tend to be somewhat introverted. They tend to be focused on a very tight thing. Their rules are real tight. And it took a while. But at the end of 4 weeks, they broke out. Two of them became... moved completely out of their world.
Wow.
They went and got involved in nonprofit organizations. Most people don't realize it, but there are over 15,000 nonprofits in the Washington metropolitan area.
Wow.
Associations. This is a really big business.
That is big.
And they need help. They need help in every single area. They need communications people. They need human resource people. They need technical people. They need fundraisers. These are very large organizations.
They need media.
They need media.
They need Briggs Media.
Hey,
there you go. And the person who's coming the next week just mentioned it is an author who's written a book called The Transition Road. And he sort of mentions, he's like, in your life when you're in high school or college, no one mentions that at some point in your life you're going to be fired. And they never tell you this. And they never say, and here's how you pick yourself up from it.
That's true.
And so when you're fired or you're let go, people, you know, they are sort of...
Lost a little bit.
And so the gentleman, his name is Jim Thomas. He's going to come in because he's written this book about it and explain a little bit about how to pick yourself.
I would love to have him on the show. That'd be great.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
We'll work it out.
We'll work it out. Okay. But he's a really interesting guy because he sort of, his whole book explains, and he's sort of a professional who explains that very process. Because as I said, he sort of explains, no one ever tells you, oh, you're going to have to pick yourself up once you're fired. And most people at some point in their life get let go either because they've been fired or because the company.
What's really amazing is these colleges, Harvard, Stanford, Yale, Princeton, they're not teaching networking.
Exactly.
Now, these kids are coming out of school. They have these prestigious degrees. I mean, these are great schools, and they have no idea how to network, how to organize anything. They think, oh, I have a degree from Harvard. Right. Automatically, I'm going to get a job.
Or that's I have not, an MBA.
That's not
But there are so many
true.
MBAs like in Washington, D.C.
And PhDs. And I was told to speak at Georgetown University, American University, regarding this, because a lot of kids are coming out with these degrees, and they're clueless.
We try to work out. We've worked on a couple of programs in the past where we've brought some of our members, most of them are mature, they've been around for a long time, mm-hmm. and get them together with the 20-somethings to see what kind of conversations. And the most fascinating thing, the language is completely alien on both sides. And how do we break down these walls? And that's where this mentoring idea is coming.
That's a great idea.
Bring mm-hmm. people together and start sharing their experiences. I mean, can you imagine talking to somebody about rotary telephones?
Oh.
They had no idea what that was. Or clothespins. I mean, there's a whole there's a whole bunch of language out there. But the young people bring a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of excitement. They really, really want to accomplish a great deal.
Right.
And by bringing these two groups together, and we try to do that on a regular basis, we try to put together special interest groups. We're about to start a group dealing with women in terms of the issues they're facing. What's different for networking?
So what's the difference with the women versus the men?
Women tend to be able to develop relationships, long-term relationships they're able to build upon.
Mm-hmm.
They have a network that's much different. However, when they get out and try to deal with some of the other issues, they don't have the killer instinct
okay.
in many respects. Now, Donna, I don't think you have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that one bit. You got it in every shape, way, or form. But as a general rule, they tend to be, women don't ask for raises most of the time. They'll say, oh, we're going to pay you $75,000 a
year.
And
they just accept it.
They accept it.
Which I think is nuts. If you think you deserve more,
but they
demand it. You're going to pay me this much.
So when the men get involved, they expect it. They're going to be asking for it. So it's a whole different set of dynamics.
And one of the things as well is they might, let's say you've taken 9 months off, mm-hmm. for your pregnancy or afterwards, they might, for whatever reason, go back to get back in the workforce, and they might say, well, you know, I've spent the last year for childbirth and whatnot, and maybe I'm not as up to date on things. And they don't have to say that. They don't have to apologize.
You're putting yourself down before they even get in
the door. Exactly. And so the women's group is in part to sort of say, here's how to network. You don't need to apologize for this. Here's how to go right back.
Yes.
And network strong.
It is what it is. And
it is.
And
just go out and network. And this is why the Women's 40 Plus, that's part of, you know, under the umbrella of 40 Plus of Greater Washington, mm-hmm. can sort of teach you how to go back and jump right back in.
It's important that you start feeling you've accomplished a great deal.
Right. And be empowered.
So it's a way to empower yourself. And what's different about this group that's being formed, it's covering every single profession out there. So there's lots of groups dealing with the women professional public relations people.
Yes.
Those are all, and they're all important. I'm not putting those down at all because they're all so important. But here's an opportunity for different backgrounds. This is where the diversity issue comes into play.
Yes.
People with different backgrounds, experiences come together and start sharing. And all of a sudden, you start learning the language of the accountant. You start learning the language of the public relations professional. And all of a sudden, the dialogue changes. And you learn how to communicate in a much more a broader way. Instead mm-hmm. of being so focused in one particular area, you do it all the time. We met and we started talking, and we were talking about I don't know how many different areas we were touching. By the end of the evening, it was like, okay, we have to get together and start this conversation. But the point is, people bring a lot to the table.
Yes.
Right. They're just not comfortable doing it.
That's true. And you're listening to Life Talk with Donna Briggs on The Big Talker, and we'll be right back. We're back. I'm with Joel Safari and Giovanni Capelletti of 40 Plus of Greater Washington, D.C. How are you doing?
We're outstanding. We're flying here.
Well, I understand you have a four-week program. Let's go into a little bit exactly each week. What do you do per week?
Well, the first week is actually, maybe I should let Giovanni doing that because he is retaking the class.
Okay.
One real quick on this, and then we'll talk a little bit about that. Once you go through the program.
Yes.
And a couple of years later, something happens.
Okay.
Well, one of the things we have the guarantee.
Oh, you can come back.
Come back
for free.
Free.
Oh, that's good.
No cost.
So it's a price for the class, the initial class.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the only our primary source of revenue to be able to pay the rent and the electric bill and okay. the internet thing. So it's a modest cost, but we could talk about that. But okay. Giovanni, what's the first week in terms of the training program?
Well, the first week is sort of twofold. One, it's to orient and to familiarize yourself with the people who are in your group, okay. the diversity of the people. But the second thing, and Joel mentioned it before, is the whole to sort of familiarize yourself with the PSRs, with thinking about in your own professional life, mm-hmm. those problems, success, and results that you may never have thought about before. And just sort of to familiarize yourself, because in some ways that's the backbone of the entire four-week structure.
Okay.
You might do other things in the class, because we mentioned how you video yourself and all of these other things. Mm-hmm. But so just we jump right in and sort of start thinking about those.
A lot of people think the most important thing you have to do is getting a great resume.
Yes. What is the most important thing you need to do?
The most important thing to do is understanding your strengths and how to take advantage of them.
Okay.
Understanding your successes. So one of the things we work on very extensively, and it starts in the first week and it goes through the whole thing, they call these success bites. You start putting together your successes. And by that we mean small things that are transferable. It has nothing to do with where you work.
Right.
It's the things you have you accomplished. And by the end of the four-week period of time, if you don't have 35 or 40 of these things set aside, because those become the building blocks of your resume. They become the building blocks of your TMA. Tell me about yourself.
The elevator speech, put in.
Okay. Your elevator speech. So these become the building blocks. You're able to pull out a piece of a success. Now, what you really want to do is eventually, when you're doing those interviews, you want to relate the company's issues with your successes. So, mm-hmm. for example, keep this in mind. Every single organization is doing hiring. They're the ones with the problem.
Yes.
If they didn't have a problem, they wouldn't be hiring anybody.
That is true. They need people.
So therefore, you have to understand what their problems are, and you have to be able to show them you're the only person in the world who can solve their problems.
Like, if they don't hire you, that's
exactly.
their loss.
They are making the biggest
loss.
Mistake
right.
in the world.
I actually did that before.
You don't have to be intimidated as the job searcher.
Yes.
You know, the job hunter.
Okay?
Exactly.
That's right. When you think about it, they are the ones that have the million-dollar problem.
Yes.
Somebody just left, somebody dies, they just got a brand new contract.
True.
And all of a sudden, they have a need.
Now, how do you deal with clients that come in who used to be in power or in control, and then they're getting interviewed by someone who's younger than them?
Well, we call that.
How do you do that?
That we say, you're being interviewed by your daughter or son.
Yeah, so how do you
right.
deal with something like
well,
that?
Well, we switch it around and say, keep in mind, they're introducing their father or mother.
Mm-hmm.
So become much more comfortable. But first of all, you have to make your fellows feel good.
Yes.
If you walk into any environment and you're down, it doesn't work.
That's true.
Even on the telephone. We want you, when you're doing a telephone interview, we want you to be dressed, we want you to be standing up, and we want you to be smiling at all times. Because
smile
smiles go through the telephone.
Yes, that's true. Because people can tell how you feel based on
right.
how you sound.
So your body language, your attitude, your perception, your portraying, you want to feel good about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So we work extensively on making people feel important about it again. Listen, you just got a terrible trauma. Sometimes losing a job is like losing a loved one.
That's what they said. It's just
like
the
your
stress
mother,
is just
you were
like
saying.
There.
Your mother had the same
like the
exact
same
experience.
Which I couldn't understand that. I mean, that's I was right. younger then, but I didn't understand it.
Once you have that situation under control, once mm-hmm. you understand now you're back in control, and once you understand that, I am an important person. I have accomplished a great deal. All of a sudden, we get your ego going up again.
Yes. And I think that deflates the person's self-esteem because they're, like you said, they're connected to the company or where they're
so
with.
So at 40-plus, we work on that. You have six other people who you're working with. All of a sudden, at the end of 4 weeks, you have not only that, but it continues after the end of the program.
Mm-hmm.
We have what we call a job club. The same six or seven people.
So how
together.
Many people are in the four-week program when you sign up?
Maximum seven people. We have no more.
Oh,
so it's an intimate group.
Okay,
very small
so it's not
group.
Like lots of people.
No, and so you get to know the people in your club or your class, rather, so small cohort of people. You get to know them really well.
Okay.
They're, you know, not only their job club, you know, their job needs, but you know, their perhaps weaknesses and what they need to do to get over their weaknesses so that they, when they get into that job interview, that, you know, that they're presenting themselves correctly and, you know, to back them up, because they need to call you back.
It becomes a personal community. These are seven people who get together. Not only that, but they meet.
They become friends, I guess.
They become friends. I went through the program many, many years ago. I'd rather not say how long ago that was. However, I still are in contact with people I was in that first class with.
Okay.
Because you develop a relationship. And completely different backgrounds. And that's the strength of the program. This program allows you to start feeling good about yourself. Once you feel good about yourself, you present yourself differently. You stand differently.
That's true.
You carry yourself differently. You dress differently.
You don't slouch. You're not walking with your head down.
There's a whole different perspective, and this is what makes the difference. All of a sudden, I'll take somebody who's 55 and make them 35 again just because they have an attitude.
That's true.
They look positive. They feel good about it, and they're able to say, I'm able to solve your problem.
And it's right. No better promotion than self-promotion.
Right. And they feel less lonely.
Yes.
Which is what we talked about originally. This cohort is your team. They're backing you. They want you to get that job. And if you don't, you can come back to them and they'll support you to, you know, this, maybe this is the weakness. And
it's
here's another
group.
Way.
You get to know
group of people. Okay, I'm going for an interview. What did I do? They get together with members of their group and they start practicing.
Okay.
Right.
And you film it, you said.
We film it.
Right.
You take a look at it and they really start working on those issues. It's a really intense program. But you have to. You have to start working. You have to start getting back into the groove there.
So give us the address.
Okay. Here we go again. Find out more about 40 Plus of Greater Washington. We have their website.
Yes,
it's the www.40plus-dc.org.
Mm-hmm.
That's 40plus-dc.org. And, you know, you can give us a call at 202-387-1582.
Yes.
And we have, you know,
you're on Facebook?
We're on Facebook.
LinkedIn,
of course.
40 Plus of
Twitter?
Greater Washington. We're on Twitter. We have all the things because you know why? This is the 21st century.
And you have to be.
And we're a 21st century organization.
Right.
Taking care
and
of 21.
And check out the website. It's easy to get around. It's easy to navigate. It's not hard. Because a lot of websites you go to, they're hard to navigate. But this
real
is easy.
Simple.
You can just click and get around. And see.
And next is
and if
coming.
You look on the right-hand side, you'll see the Speakers Bureau. Every Monday, we encourage you to come. It's free.
Do you have to register?
If you don't have to
just
register.
Show up.
It's you can show up and it's at 1718 P Street,
about
two blocks away from DuPont Circle.
Circle Red Line.
The Red Line.
That's right near the subway. Okay,
exactly.
Great.
Right by the subway or the metro, and you come down and you meet people, have a cup of coffee, and start
and you
developing.
Network
and start networking. And besides, I'm going to get a hold of you, and I'm going to force you.
I'm going to come down there on a Monday. I'm going to bring donuts and coffee and
we're up for
all
that
kind of thing.
Hey, Donna, we want to invite you to be a speaker.
I could do that.
I want
That's
you to
right.
talk about being an entrepreneur.
Yes, I can do that.
Starting your business.
Yes.
Starting a career.
You have to believe when no one else believes. That's the number one rule of starting your own business.
And once you do that, so you're invited to come down on a Monday morning, break bread with the rest of us.
That sounds great. Let me know when, and I'll definitely be there.
Giovanni is my man. He's going to take
we'll
set
it.
That up.
This has really been fun. I really, like I said, it was very personal to me when I met you. I thought about my mom, her situation, and if she had something like this, then she'd probably still be here. And I really, really I was honored to meet you at the fundraising event that I met you at.
It was an amazing opportunity. And we were practicing what we were just talking about.
Yes,
networking. We're practicing the skill set necessary to move ahead in the 21st century.
Yes, and you have to do that. Networking, Facebook, LinkedIn, you have to do it.
And feel comfortable. Each one of you, everybody who's listening to us, you've accomplished a great deal in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Be proud of that. Be proud of who you are.
Yes.
And share your experiences with others.
And don't be ashamed because you have a lot you bring to the table.
You've got too
much.
You
just don't realize it.
You have it.
It's
bring
their
it
loss, not your loss, that they let you go. Remember.
That's right. They That's right. made a mistake. But this is an opportunity for make that change from where you are to where you would like to be.
And you've been listening to Life Talk with Donna Briggs on The Big Talker. And I've been with Joseph Hardy and Giovanni Capoletti at 40 Plus of Greater Washington, D.C. Thanks so much for joining me.
You take care now.
Thanks so much.
And remember, make every day a great day. Thanks for joining me. See you next week.